Okay, y'all got the sheet? Some basic principles for our service among the young people. You got that one?
Yes.
On the table in the hallway if you didn't. It's not in the book, it's in the hallway. Do we need some more?
I'm going to need
the hallway leading to the dining hall.
Okay. This last session here, we have a little fellowship by the two old grandpas, me and Jeff. Jeff and I, excuse me. Anyway, we felt like this has been very glorious today, been very wonderful.
Amen.
Very good fellowship. But at the end here, we pictured it like this. You know, Brother Lee shared with us, in the book of Ephesians, you have three chapters on the vision, and then three chapters where you come down to the practical daily life. Okay? So, we've had a lot of sharing, mostly, I'd say, on the vision side so far. Anyway, this session here, we'd like to come down a little bit to the very practical side. How about our living? How about our working it out? What is this? What should this look like among us, practically? So, you know, Paul says in Ephesians, tells us all about God's eternal purpose, how you're chosen, you're redeemed, and you're sanctified, and you're enjoying the Spirit as the pledge, and, you know, all these riches and all this enjoyment. But then, he wants to just make sure you really got it. Let's check with you. Are you still stealing? You know? Do you honor your parents? You know, do you love your wife? You know, how about at work with your employer? You know, it's kind of like the Apostle John does at the end of the Bible. He said, "Well, you may say this, but if you walk and practice this," John doesn't mess around. He just said, "You lie."
Yeah.
You know? You're not practicing the truth. You know? So anyway, we'd like to just have some very practical fellowship that maybe gives us a little check. Where are you really? You know? So anyway, I picture it like this. Like Ken started out this morning about God's move. Or God's direction of the Lord's move is to build up the body.
Amen.
Build up the body of Christ. And we all want to be part of this move. And just for this today's illustration, let's say you're the hub. Okay? And for this move we need a wheel, but we need a lot of spokes. So first of all, we need to consider How is your relationship, first of all, with the Lord Himself? How are you towards God? Okay? Then, like some have shared a little bit already, what is your relationship really with the young people? Okay? Then, we're going to consider a lot more. If you look down the sheet here, you'll see all these. Even how are you toward your own self? Right? Do you respect yourself? You know? And do you honor yourself as the Lord honors you? Okay? Then, how about, what is your relationship to the Word? And I appreciate what Paul said. We have the tool book and the lesson book. And they go together. One should just lead us into the other. We have the Bible as our source. And we're not just teaching a bunch of teachings. We're trying to know the Lord, know the truth.
Right.
So actually we need the Word and the interpreted Word, the ministry of the Word.
Amen.
So we all have to consider how are you related to the Word and to the ministry of the Word.
Right?
If you think, "I'm just going to come and just have a good time this summer, let others get into the Word, I'm not really too into that." No, that's not what we're doing. Okay? Then, here's a big one, is how are you related to the other serving ones? Okay, that's something we really want to consider. Then, like was shared earlier, you are not really the primary responsible one of these children, these young people. So how are you related to the families? Okay? Even you might not even see these parents, but if you dishonor them before their children, you got a big problem. Right? Maybe their parents didn't grow up in the church life. Maybe the kids start learning more truth than the parents. And, you know, one thing in serving, it's almost like serving with counting the money in the church. You get exposed to what's going on. When you're with serving the young people, you're not digging around, you're not an investigator, but you just start finding out what's going on in different families. Oh, you got cable in your house? And you find out, oh, you mean your parents do this? Or they let you go there? You know, you get exposed to the parents and how they conduct themselves and their family. Okay, so what do you do with that information? Right? You pass it on to all the other serving ones? Right? Do you cover them? Do you pray for them? Do you tell these kids that your parents are really off? You know? No. We got to be rightly related to the parents. Then, how about to the church? We want to consider, what is your relationship to the church? And this is not a person, but we want to... How are you related to this Summer School of Truth in particular? Okay, so if we have a good relationship, I know this is not exactly around, but anyway. We should be able to get this wheel moving.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
So, a lot depends on you and how you are. Anyway, let's just go through this quickly, because I only got a limited amount of time also. But let's just run down this. And actually, I was putting this together. I thought, you know what? This first point, you might think this is not really relevant, but this is totally relevant. In fact, the brothers who just went to the recent ITERO, the training to the elders and responsible ones, I was so amazed. You know, you go there, you think, I'm going to really learn more how to serve properly in the church, how to take care of the church, what I should do this, do that. And the brothers kind of, in a sense, stopped us right in the beginning saying, you know what the most important thing is in your serving life, is that you yourself love the Lord.
Amen.
You know, so you think about it. If this is broken here, everything else does not work. If you are not rightly related to the Lord, if you've got problems in your relationship with the Lord, and you have some sins that you're not dealing with, you're not confessing, and you have some problems, it just doesn't work. You know? So, I was thinking, we primarily should be lovers, not primarily workers.
Okay? Amen.
So, we all can be workers. And, you know, I've been serving the church for a while, and I know that it's possible. You can work, and you can do a lot of things. But it gets pretty hard if this is broken. It gets real, real difficult. Right? Because then you're starting to carry out doing stuff and even serving, but there's no reality there. In fact, Lord, if you read the Gospels, you can see one thing the Lord hated was hypocrisy. He kept pointing it out to the Pharisees and the scribes and those. Okay? So, anyway, not to consider others. But we should just consider ourselves. Lord, I want to be in the reality. I want to love you. I want to take care of you. I want to give you the ground, give you the first place. Basically, just to have a life, just one with the Lord.
Amen.
Right? That's crucial. Okay, and it's not just that you do this before you go to camp. But all the time while we're there, it's just staying up to date, up to date. You know, Brother used to tell us, every time before he'd stand up to speak, he would always pray, Lord, cover me again. Cleanse me in your blood. May I be right with you. Why? Because he's getting ready to minister, to serve. Right? How can you serve Christ if you're not one with Christ? Okay? So this is crucial. So in a sense, we don't want to recruit a whole bunch of workers who are not right with the Lord. It's no value. Right? So anyway, we want to give the Lord the first place. And number two, we want to be supplied. This is really crucial, especially once summer school of truth gets going. It's a race. And I think anybody that served in the summer school of truth, or especially at the camp, especially, you know, we come and meet with the serving ones. Even that sometimes is hard to meet right away corporately in the morning. You know, it's, you got to have some time alone, personal.
Yeah.
Whether it's before the corporate time, that might be pretty tough. But at least some time during the day,
yeah,
by yourself, alone with the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? And not just studying the points that you're going to share later, but personally being supplied, right? Being in the enjoyment that will give you something for the Lord during the day. Then number three is our prayer. These are all related to our fellowship with the Lord. We need to pray. And the brothers have shared with us before, and I like this, you know, that what is prayer? Prayer means I can't do it. I have to stop and cry out to the Lord and depend on the Lord. Lord, come in, help me, do this. Be the serving one today. Be the one giving the message. Be the one leading the small group. Be with me in the recreation or in my cabin. Lord, I need you.
Amen.
Right? So we have to pray. Not praying means, you know, we don't say this, but not praying means you think you can do it by yourself. Right? So we need to pray, not trust in ourselves. And we need to pray on behalf of the young people. And sometimes, you know, we have to confess, we're unbelievers. You know, the brothers have shared, the saints in Acts were praying for Peter to get out, and then when Peter got out and came to the door, the saints just, no, that's not Peter. You're seeing a ghost.
They couldn't receive from the young sister.
We had an experience the other day. We're praying for our outreach, praying the Lord lead us to some and all that, and then the Lord led us to his sister, and she told us, I was just praying this morning that the Lord would lead me to an English-speaking group. She says, I think God sent you to me. And we said, I think so too. Anyway, we became a little more believers. You know? Anyway, we got to pray. And not only at the 6 o'clock hour, you know, when we gather corporately, but we need to pray individually by ourselves. We should pray in twos and threes. We should pray in a group. So I know that once camp gets going, it's almost impossible. But even like, say you're walking across somewhere, you can grab another brother or just pray for even a minute. That's pretty good.
Amen.
Right, just pray for a minute or two. Anyway, we need to pray. Then we need to serve with faithfulness.
Amen.
And you know, not expecting something big or great, and not comparing, looking at all the things outwardly. Just be faithful. The Lord has given you something. Lord, you have a portion. Just be faithful to carry it out. Okay, then, toward the young people. This is key. And that, you know, some of the brothers shared already. We need a heart of love toward the young people. But we need to realize their age. Okay, they're not adults. And we need to realize where they're at. So, we shouldn't be surprised or totally shocked you know, that somebody doesn't want to exercise their spirit. You know, or anyway, we need to receive them where they are and love them. And it's easy. It's easy. If you've been in the church life for a while, it's easy to look at somebody and become critical. It's very, very easy. Right? But that renders no life to anybody. And that really tears down and it does not help. You need to have a heart of love and patience. Whether they totally, you might have prayed and really labored and poured out and trying your best to make some points clear, and the junior hires are, I always think the best place to learn to share in a meeting is in a junior high meeting. Right. You need to learn how to speak when nobody's listening. It's good for you. Right? When people are distracted, you know, and like the brothers shared, you find out real quick whether you just got a bunch of teachings and doctrines for you, or you have a way to make it practical, and they might listen to what you have to say. Okay? So anyway, the second one is taking a genuine interest in them. This, I believe, on one hand, like was shared, we have the Lord's love in us, which flows out. On the other hand, we need to exercise to develop this. Right? If you can say automatically, I have a heart of love towards Joseph. But if I never ask him, how's it going? And talk to him and go see him and sit down with him and fellowship. And you can say, exercise my love toward him. You know, it's not gonna be a genuine interest. If I say, oh, I have a heart of love towards Joseph, but Lord, put it there, it's there, I know it's there. But and he's okay, he's all right. I never go see him, I never call him, never anything.
Right.
You say, it's not too real. Okay, we have to have a heart of love and hope. So I know that nowadays we have to be very, very careful. On the other hand, you know, with junior high kids, I loved it. You know, take me right. You should touch them. Right? How's it going?
Yeah.
You know, give them five. Anyway, these sisters, you know, it shouldn't be so cold.
Yeah.
We need to put our arm around the younger kids. Okay? Of course, we know, brothers, we all know, brothers do this with brothers, sisters with sisters. Okay? We have an absolute no touching of brothers and sisters. But on the other hand, we should express our feelings towards the young people. Have a heart for them. Anyway, then the next one. This is really crucial. Get involved. Don't be aloof. Okay, you're not going to work at Living Stream to work on the literature. You're not working on books during a summer school troop. You're working with people.
Amen.
Right? So don't sit in your office. Right? We want to get involved. Be with them. Okay? Now, brothers who are sharing, yes, you need to get out and go sit in your cabin all by yourself and prepare, get ready, but not all day, every day. Okay, I think we got the point. Okay, E, learning to be a friend and a big brother or sister to them. It's not easy sometimes, not to be only a teacher. We don't want to be just a teacher.
Amen.
We want to be a brother.
Amen.
We want to be a friend. You know, we want to love them, care for them where they are. Okay. Then, F, having a view to raise them up in life, equip them in truth, and perfect them in their service. Okay, like things mentioned earlier, we're not just here for cherishing, but we are here for nourishing. And just like your own kids and your own family growing up, you don't want them just to be healthy, giving them good meals every day, right? And you don't want to just put your arm around them and love them. You got to feed them, and you got to educate them, and teach them lessons. Okay, so a lot of lessons can be learned outside of the class time. In fact, that may be some of the best lessons, right? Even when you're sitting in a boat, you might be teaching the very best lesson. Not necessarily on how to fish, but, but just being together, talking, you might be surprised what comes out. Okay, then, number three is taking care of how we are toward ourselves. And this is something that we don't really think about a lot. But as serving ones, of course, we all know we have the three parts. We have spirit, soul, and body. We should take care of ourselves. And it's something we don't think about. You can't just be focused on here. You got to think about, how are you? Right? So, like for instance, first one, being exercised in our spirit. Okay? We're not here just a teacher or a drill sergeant telling us, exercise your spirit. Come on. You know? And you never exercise your spirit. Right? We should exercise. Okay, we don't want to turn the meetings into dominating all by the serving ones. But on the other side, we don't want to expect the young people are all going to exercise and we're just going to sit there and, you know, not. We have to exercise our spirit. And the brothers sharing, we should consider a little bit. How's your spirit?
Amen.
How's your expression? Right? How's your heart of love, not just in when you're with them individually, but even your attitude comes across in your speaking? And how's your appearance? You know, we're not, this is not the full-time training. We're not asking brothers to wear a tie. Okay, it's the summer school of truth. Okay, but on the other hand, you know, if your shirt's all hanging out and you haven't shaved for 4 days and, you know, and you stand up, and, you know, you're mumbling and no spirit.
You
no,
got Snoopy on your t-shirt.
You say, no, I can't do that. Right? We should be exercised. Okay? Then, not only in our spirit, but how about our attitude? Like, as a serving one, if say, oh, Ken said we have to do this today. Can you believe it? Anyway, we've got to exercise to be in one accord. Right? Not to be so opinionated about everything.
I actually, apologize in advance.
last year, we had a brother that had many concerns, and I think they were very good, genuine concerns. Okay? And but there's only one problem. He didn't tell us until it was all over. Okay? That's not really that good. Right? If you have some concerns, if you think something's going wrong, it probably is. Okay? So fellowship. Fellowship. Okay? Share your concerns. Don't wait till the whole camp is over. We can't do anything at that point. Fellowship with the brothers coordinating. Okay? And if you're dying, you know, if you're in a cabin and for some reason you're the only sister in that cabin and you got 18 girls and you're trying to handle it all by yourself and you're wondering, where's all the other serving ones? You know, we brothers don't have a clue. We're not allowed to go in the sister's cabins. We have no idea. Okay? So, you better fellowship. Okay? So, we need to open up and fellowship. Okay, then, next thing is being sanctified in the appearance of our body and the words of our speech. Okay? This is really crucial. We don't talk about this very much, but we should be properly clothed in all modesty as a pattern. Jeff told me yesterday he read something a brother used to teach in the full-time training. He taught the young people's class. He said, if you want to know what prostitutes looked like in the 40s and 50s, look at the girls today. Okay? So, we are influenced by our age. Okay? But in the church life, we're not for that. And we should have a godly appearance. Okay? And we cannot tell the girls in the junior high and high school, you can't dress like that. If a serving one comes and she's dressed like that. Okay? So, sisters, you need to be dressed properly. Okay? And it's very hard for one of us brothers to come and tell one of you sisters, sister, you're not dressed that properly. Okay? So you sisters should monitor each other. Right? Not that we're police or something. We should help one another.
Yeah.
Right? For a testimony.
Right.
And not only that, the way you dress is not only what you're teaching in a lesson, but it's how you are yourself. Okay? So the way you are, young people think, I can be like you. I'm going to be like you. Okay? So they're going to follow you, not just in what you say, but in the way you live and the way you express yourself. Okay? Then we need to speak words of grace seasoned with salt. Okay? And then turning our conversations to the Lord, being ready to share our testimony. Jeff's telling me on the way, these long rides up to the camp and all, it's a good opportunity. Share with the kids in the car a little bit. Okay? Then, number four is toward the word and the ministry. We should not think, oh, Dion's sharing the lesson, so, you know, forget it. I don't need to get into this. You know? No, we should get into it. You should be the first to enter into the word, into the truth, and study it, and get into it as best we can. Okay? I think like a couple of years ago, Paul challenged some of the kids. Didn't just tell them, you guys memorize. Come on, memorize. You know, he told them, hey, I'm going to memorize too. See who can beat me. Right? You can memorize more verses than me. Okay, so a serving one should be the first.
Yeah.
Jump in. Right? It's not that we are teaching them the truth. No, we are getting into the truth also.
Amen.
Right? If you get into these truths, not only that, you know what's shared this morning about the ones who left, the young people who got affected by this turmoil and storm because they didn't know the truth concerning the ground of the church. It wasn't just the young people, it was the serving ones. Okay? So, the serving ones, we need to know the truth ourselves. Okay, then number five, toward the other serving ones, we should be in a proper headship and order. Okay? Which means, on one hand, yes, we all are responsible while we're there. If you see something going on, you're a serving one. You be responsible. You don't have to wait. Oh, I'm going to wait till 3 hours later when I see Jeff. I'm going to come tell him what's going on with these kids that are acting improperly. No, you should step in and say, hey, what are you guys doing? You know? On the other hand, we don't want to create an atmosphere where everybody's yelling at the kids. We don't want that. Okay, we want an atmosphere. We love them.
Amen.
We're for them. Okay, we're not here. We're not there. Like Brother East say all the time, this is not a police station. It's not a law court. Okay, we're not out to arrest them and harangue them and harass them and yell at them. No, we're not. Okay, once in a while, you have to be firm and give it a little salty word. Hey, don't act like that. Don't do that. You know, or you know, some of the junior high, hey, stop that, you know. But don't go crazy, you know. Don't lose it totally yourself and become a haranguer and a harasser and a yeller and all those things.
Old yeller.
Okay, then B is we need to coordinate. If something comes up, you know, that needs fellowship, coordinate. It's obvious. There's a group of brothers, not just one brother. There's a group of brothers who are coordinating, taking the lead. If some things come up, fellowship. Okay? Then we need to function. We need to do our part. Okay? Don't be so idle. Don't be lazy. Do your part. Okay? And then honor the Lord's portion in other members. So if a brother is up there sharing and he's about dying because nobody's saying amen, stand with the brother. What'd you say?
Amen!
Okay. So we need to... We're not competing. Who can give the best summer school truth message? Okay, we're not doing that. We're just honoring one another's portion.
We don't have evaluation forms at the end of camp.
Okay, he is endeavor to care for, supply, and support one another. Right? So not only you might ask a young person on Wednesday or so at camp, hey, how's it going? Are you holding up? You getting enough sleep? You know, are you drinking enough water? Things like that. You know, you might, let's say I'm with Jason and together we're with Patrick, okay? I might ask Patrick, and Jason's dying. So, you know, don't forget each other also, right? We should care for one another. And sometimes it means, hey, Jason, you better go take a break.
Yeah.
I'll try my best to fill in. Okay. Then, be willing to pick up burdens. So, this one here, I'll give you a little example. It's what my wife always tells me. The kitchen could be a disaster and all kinds of dishes and everything after a group meeting. And I'll ask her, you want me help? Or, is there anything you want me to do? It's like, duh. Look. So, there's some things are just so obvious. Okay? Just pick up the burden. Okay? Don't wait. Don't think, I'm supposed to share in the meeting. I'm not supposed to do that. You know? No, we all got to just pick up the burden. Okay, then toward the families, not replacing the parents who've been entrusted with the primary responsibility, we should join their prayer and function together with them as a team.
Amen.
So like I shared this morning, this is one piece, we're doing one thing. I remember years ago when we first started, we go to the summer school, we go to the camp, and the junior high kids would begin to take a stand and get baptized. And it was glorious. And we happened to be there at that time serving. And it's easy as a serving one to think, wow, we did it. You know, actually, no, we didn't do it. You forget, these kids have gone through how many years of children's meetings and how many years they've been in their family's homes and how many parents. You prayed for a week. The parents have been praying for 12 years so far. Okay, so we should keep that in mind. Okay. We do our part, but we should honor the families. Join their prayers. Stand with them. It's not easy to be a parent to raise teenagers. Okay. Then towards the church. This one is really crucial, and Brother Lee has emphasized this a lot. We should realize the goal of our service is for the building up of the church.
Amen.
We've learned this in almost any service. The campus work, we know we're not there to be Campus Crusade. We're not there to be the best club. No, we are here for the church.
Amen.
Right? We're not here for special young people's work. We're here for the church.
Amen.
We're here for the goal is clear, for the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Okay? Then our labor with the young people has a long-term benefit to the church. So even like we shared already, percentage-wise, we might not be with them all that much compared to their parents. On the other hand, it's great. We just give what we can and do what we can and be involved to the extent we can. It has great benefit to the church in the long run. So having a burden for the students' work from the young children to the college age, we should have a burden, okay? And we should have a broad view. We should see the whole thing. Okay? And I think it's great Eventually, the high school serving ones are praying for the ones serving the children. Right? The ones serving the children are praying for those laboring on the campuses.
Amen.
It's all one work.
Amen.
These are the exact same kids.
Amen.
Okay? So we should pray with that kind of, and labor with that kind of view.
Amen.
Even years ago, we should coordinate with that in the same way. Even we don't have a junior high service and a high school service. It's one service. Okay, we're serving with the young people. So even when we sign up, we might ask you later, you know, do you have a specific burden for junior high or high school? And yeah, you might be better with one age group or the other, and that's fine. We'll try to work that out. But there may be a need. We might ask you, can you consider maybe you can switch to the other one this summer because we need some more over here. Okay, so years ago, I remember this was so disjoint. The junior high serving ones were emphasizing memorizing the Bible. And then they came to high school, and the high school serving ones told them, no, that's dumb, that's junior high stuff. Okay? You can say it totally was not one work.
Yeah.
It's not one service. We should have the same view.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
What we might emphasize stronger with the older ones, one thing, than we did with the younger ones, you know, but basically, we want it to flow one work.
Amen.
We're not here to overthrow what they're doing, you know, and the younger ones or the older ones. No, it's one work. Okay, then, at the Summer School of Truth, okay, there's one problem sometimes we have. Sometimes all of us, you think about here, there's about 50 of us sitting here. I'm the one standing up. You might think, I'm not serving. I don't have anything to do. Only the brother sharing, he has something to do. Okay? No, that's not true. Okay? In the Summer School of Truth, even all the brothers share. You put all the hours together. You might share 1 hour, 2 hours out of a whole week, 168 hours. What is that? Okay? There's more than just speaking. Okay? So, we have in the classes, we should stand with the brothers teaching, and the brothers who are speaking should learn. We should fellowship, and we should ask each other, can you help me? Do you have any thoughts about this lesson? It just seems really doctrinal to me. I can't seem to get a handle on the practicality of it. Fellowship, right? So we should learn. Brothers should learn in their speaking. Okay, but we should stand. All the rest of us should stand with the brothers sharing in the truth. Okay, then small groups. We always share this, whether it's small groups in normal church life or at the summer school. We should not dominate, right? We're not the Bible answer man in the small group. We're here to facilitate. We're here to draw the young people in, to get them involved in the fellowship. We should read through those couple outlines on the small group. Okay? Then at the meals, it shouldn't be six serving ones sitting at this table and six young people at this table. No, we should mix it up all the time. I think we do that in our practice. Okay, in the recreation, if you have brothers especially, we should read this. Being involved in measure. Okay, we want to be involved with them. We want to have a good time. We can't be in classes all day long. We need to have some recreation. But we should remember, this is not a sports camp. Okay? And the game is fun, but it's not that crucial.
Oh, man!
So anyway, we shouldn't get overly heated when we get going on the recreation. In the gospel time, leading and giving place for learning. So I think your brother shared that already. In the cabins, this is key. Yes, we want to be a big brother, a big sister. We want to be a friend. But you are a serving one. Okay? So sometimes you have to speak a word or say, hey, it's time. Brothers, we got to go to sleep. We got to turn the lights out and let's cool it. Let's stop. Okay? Or if the brothers are totally sloppy, come on, brothers. Let's clean this place up. Okay? You got to speak up. Be a serving one. Don't just be, oh, I'm just a friend. I never tell anybody anything they don't like to hear. No, be a serving one. Right? And sometimes you have to be a little bit salty. Okay? And you could, they'll respect you, and you could still be their friend or their big brother, but be a serving one, especially in the cabin. Sorry, I went too long.
Is it next week that the full-time training has their graduation out in Anaheim?
Yeah.
So we'll have a little graduation ceremony here. How many young people went through 7 years of summer school of truth? Stand up. You went through all 3 years of junior high and 4 year high school. Anybody?
Yeah.
One, two. Yay! And now they're serving. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How many have been serving for 25 years? Stand up.
If you can.
Praise the Lord. So we'll do something we do in junior high to check your brain to see if it's still working. No, no, Simon says. That takes too long. I'm starting with a number 5. I'm multiplying by 5. I'm times 2. I'm times 2. I'm dividing by 10. Where am I? Oh, you're good. We'll do it again. I'm starting with 3. Times 6. Plus 2. Times 4. Plus 20. Divided by 5. Plus 6.
26.
I'll give you one more. If you file your taxes on April... No, never mind. Well, we covered a lot of these points in principle, but we need the 2-page handout. If you don't have it, it was in the hallway. I hope you all have it. It's called Practical Points of Fellowship for Serving Ones in the Summer School of Truth. It's a 2-page handout. You'll need to have it because we're going to read through some of it. Everybody got it? It's a 2-pager. Number 1 says get involved. You all got it? So just as an introduction, I'll read the first paragraph. Frequently, ones who serve with the young people, usually in the summer school of truth, ask the question, what should I do or how should I function? The following points are intended to answer that question in a spirit of humility and honesty. Hopefully, these points will help you to serve the Lord and minister life to the young people you labor with. Specifically, these points are written with a summer school of truth and camp experience in mind. So there's 12 points. We'll read a couple of them together. Number 1 was the one that Marty brought up about being involved. Sometimes when young people serve in the summer school truth for the first time, they don't know what to do, and so they don't do anything, and they don't get involved. But like we've been saying here, it's more than just sitting on the side observing. You have a heart to learn and participate. In the second paragraph, sometimes serving ones sometimes feel that they have to be asked to do something before they do something. Suppose you're walking to the dining hall and see a lot of cups and paper on the ground. You could go to the next morning coordination and tell the serving ones, this camp is dirty. Or you could say to the campers walking with you, hey guys, let's pick up the trash on the way to the dining hall. This is a key element. Don't expect someone else to do everything. There's too many things that have to be coordinated, and you have the initiative. When you're a serving one, you have the authority to enforce something. This is pretty hard for some freshmen in college who just the previous year were high school serving ones. But you have to take the authority as a sheriff. You've been deputized to serve in the summer school of truth. Which brings up the next point, number 2. Try to always be around the young people. There will be times, like Marty said, when you need to prepare a lesson. But generally speaking, be with the young people and where the young people are. Especially at meal and snack time, serving ones have a tendency to group up. The younger you are, the easier it is for you to blend with the young people. This point is not to condemn you to talk with a group of serving ones for 5 minutes, but as a general principle, we should be involved with as many activities as possible with the young people.
Amen.
At the camp, that might mean you burn out if you try to do everything. You need to rest. But try to be with the young people, especially at mealtime. We refer to this later. If there's 6 young people coming to a dinner table and you're with them, all of a sudden you go back for seconds, you come back to the dinner table, they're all gone. They seem to wolf down their meal about 35 seconds. And they're outside running around, and that's when trouble happens. And all the serving ones want to sit around and sip coffee for a half hour. It just doesn't work. You got to be with the young people as much as you can. Be positive. Marty touched this matter too. Young people will always find things to complain about. Let's not add to it. This is particularly the case with complaints about other serving ones. Never participate in any negative talk about anyone, let alone a serving one. In fact, you should quickly stop any negative speaking and complaining. This applies to gossip about other campers or the boys or the girls in group reference. One of the rules for the campers is that there is no name calling. This is a key point. It sounds small here today, but it's very significant at a camp, especially with junior hires. Stop any mocking or ridiculing talk about another camper, including negative nicknames. Do this in grace, but with some salt. You might say, hey guys, the Lord loves us all, including you. Smile. And we don't want to have any negative speaking about anyone during our time together. We are here to build one another up and supply one another. Along this line, don't undermine the fellowship of the brothers by giving your opinion as to how something should be done or should have been done. Don't be Absalom in the gate of the city. Absalom was the son of David, and he sat in the gate and he said, you know, if I was king, I would have done it this way. I know Marty said that don't do it that way, but if I had been given the fellowship about boating, I would have said you could have gone out across the lake. Marty said you're not allowed to swim from the canoes, but if I was the counselor, I'd have let you. But we got to do what Marty says. You see the point? You're undermining the authority. You're causing complaining and gossiping, and you're making people feel they got a bad counselor when they got Marty instead of you. Or you. Number four, let's read this together, slow.
Unceasingly pray. If you have served a while, you know that you can get tired and a little weary on occasion. These times of serving are a training time to us as well. So we need to learn to bring everything to the Lord in prayer.
Brothers,
is a younger camper depressed about striking out in baseball? Ask the Lord to cover them and keep them from getting down.
Sisters,
is some older young people seem to be closed about first exciting? Tell the Lord, ask for his wisdom, and ask him to turn their minds. If you are tired, tell the Lord and ask him for a supply.
Older serving ones.
Older serving ones will tell you that one of the biggest regrets in their past service is that they did not cover everything in prayer. So pray.
Together.
Many problems that have arisen over the years came not from campers, but serving ones.
Prayer, Marty mentioned praying as you walk across the field. This is key all the time. How many of you would see a fire on the ground and say, oh, there's a fire on the ground, somebody should do something about that? And if you have a glass of water, you'd pour it out. So many times we have the key to the answer is the prayer, but we don't pray. I've told the brothers recently several times, my wife will do this to me all the time. I'll come in and I'll complain about something. Why did so-and-so do this and do this? And she'll say, let's just pray. Lord Jesus, and I'm... What a concept. Pray. So we need to be people who pray. And the thing about the baseball is not a small issue. You get a kid who strikes out three times in a row and somebody says, why don't you join the other team, Tim? And he's depressed and he's bummed out for a whole day. Next thing you know, he's on a cell phone that he wasn't supposed to bring to camp telling his mother to come get him. You need to pray over these kind of things. Small things. What's small to you is not small to a seventh grade boy. You know, a seventh grade or sixth grade girl gets somebody tells her hair looks freaky today. That does her in for the week. You need to pray that these things can be overcome. And your counseling doesn't always do it. So we need to be people who pray.
Amen.
Number five, I think this was covered pretty good. Let's go to the last paragraph, another item. I'll read this one. Another item in this topic of pattern. Try to avoid sharing stories of prior years' pranks and jokes. Especially leave out the accounts, if any, of your naughty behavior as a young person. These kinds of stories encourage one-upmanship, whereby the campers want to make their mark in the summer school truth camp history. Of course, a serving one should never participate in pranks or encourage them. This can be a sensitive area for younger serving ones. We want the kids to have fun, but let's not make pranking seem to be acceptable behavior. It isn't, and it usually results in anger and retaliation. Don't tell them, well, you know, when I was at summer school, we brought firecrackers and blew up Marty's cabin. But don't you do that. Don't share stories of bad behavior. It encourages them. And one-upmanship. Last year they did this, and then they think, well, this year we'll do something better. The most innocent prank I ever saw was some boys, I think it was Paul Schultz. They had a teepee at camp. And we woke up the next morning and it was covered with teepee, toilet paper. And that was harmless. I didn't have any trouble with that one. But he didn't destroy someone else's cabin, or he didn't do other things to other people. You can't stop kids from goofing around, but definitely don't participate in it. And I know you want to be friends, and don't turn your back and pretend you didn't see it. You know, like Colonel Sergeant Schultz, I see nothing. Whatever you do, you know. They're all leaving the cabin to go raid another cabin. You just say, oh, I guess I didn't see that. Don't do that. Don't participate in pranking. Every year we have this problem. And it always escalates. If you do something to one camper, their cabin wants to do it back to your cabin, and it destroys the atmosphere of the camp. Then it turns it into another whole kind of camp.
That's right.
So please, as serving ones, don't participate. We come to this matter of discipline issues. This is a difficult topic for many reasons. Our good soul wants to be friendly to all, and most of us want to avoid confrontation. The primary use of any form of discipline during the Summer School of Truth is to protect the atmosphere of the time and not to allow improper behavior to detract others and us from reaching our goal of imparting true life, truth, and growth. We have rarely dismissed anyone over the years. We generally have a high tolerance level, in most cases too high. We tend to warn once, twice, three times with no action, hoping for the best. As a result, our threats go unheeded. We do this all the time. Stop that. 27 times, and then we don't do anything. Eventually the kid realizes stop that is just what you say. You never do anything. So it would be good to establish the strike count up front for all to be aware of and stick to the pronounced action. If you say, if I have to speak to you again, you leave the meeting. If you speak to him again, you take him out of the meeting. Don't threaten to do something and not do it. That's a pattern of parenting also. Our main area of concern is the meeting time. Proactive seat placement can save a lot of issues. So try to be on time and control the seating locations of potential situations. This is really key at the camp. Try to be at the meetings before they start. Try to bring your cabin early to the camp. And if you've got some naughty boys or talkative sisters, proactive seating means you sit between them. This sounds, we're down to the nitty-gritty now, the camp. This helps a lot to solve problems. If you got two naughty boys who are always hitting each other, make sure that one's not sitting in front of the other one, pushing his chair with his foot. Proactive seating. Praise the Lord. Second paragraph. Of course, we never strike or threaten to hit anyone. Seriously, don't ever threaten to hit anyone. In rare cases, you may have to hold back an angry or fighting boy. I've seen that happen a couple times over the years, but that is very rare. Usually our discipline will be verbal, but with specific consequences, such as, if I have to speak to you again, you will be taken out of the meeting. Try to minimize meeting corrections. Don't speak to someone in the meeting. Try to do as much as you can outside of the meetings. Talk to the offending person outside of the meetings. Do not ridicule a young person. You appear to be the winner, but you may wound someone deeply. By this I mean, don't get into a verbal fight. If they start saying things to you, don't say things back. You have the mental ability to maybe to defeat them in their reasoning. Don't get into verbal contact fights with kids. Just leave the meeting and leave the presence. You understand what I'm saying there? Young people want to sass back, and then your tendency is to want to sass back and do one-upmanship on them, and you're better, you're smarter than they are. You know, but don't do that. Obviously, some of us have done it, and we're sorry we did it. If a camper is really getting to you, ask another serving one to handle the issue, not you. Be ready to forgive and forget. They do. A young boy can be very quick to forget his rude behavior or improper behavior and show no remorse. They are very similar to crying babies who smile after they vomit their problem on you. Mothers, you know what I mean. The baby is in a crabby mood and it vomits all over you, and then the baby smiles. And you are furious at the baby, but the baby's happy. Their problem is gone. So you need to have an understanding that people forgive themselves. In the church life, if Bill Barker rebuked me tomorrow morning, I'd probably remember it till the day I die. If Bill Barker rebukes Patrick for leaving the meeting and causing a distraction, Patrick will forget it by noon tomorrow. Young people forget things quickly. So don't hold grudges and don't expect them to hate you the next day.
Yeah.
Okay? Sorry, these are practical points. Sometimes there are incidents that come up. Try not to make quick judgments. Listen to their side of the story. We had a case like this at a winter camp a couple years ago. There was a boy furious about something that happened. when we finally heard his side of the story, it relieved his anger quite a bit, just listening to his side of the story. Sometimes you come on the scene and you see things happening a certain way and you don't know the whole story. So separate the kids and try to find out their side of the story. Again, these are rare incidences, but it helps. Be a good listener. Let's just read the bold print of Be Quick to Hear. Let's read that one.
Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God.
Don't ever blow up in anger. You'd say, why would I put that in there? Because I blew up a couple of times. It doesn't do any good to scream and yell and blow up and stomp off of territory and say, I'm never having anything to do with your kids again. I didn't say that, but don't blow up. It doesn't work. If you have to do anything, shut up and walk away. It's a good principle in marriage also. It's better not to blow up. Don't lose your temper. Walk away. It doesn't mean you're not going to yell at somebody. Stop that, or don't do that, or don't throw those bricks through the window or something like that. But don't blow up. Went to a camp about 20 years ago. This is the incident I'm thinking of. We had this last camp meeting, and there was all these tearing consecrations and everything. And 20 minutes later, a little boy came to me and said, they're down at the campfire smoking. The same kids that were teary-eyed in consecration are now down at the campfire smoking. Actually, in retrospect, smoking wasn't that big of a deal anyway, but to me it was at the time. And I went down and I, wah! They heard me halfway across the lake. You know what that solved? Nothing. All it did was show where I was. So don't blow up. Now, what should I have done? In retrospect, I wish I hadn't gone down there. You know, somebody tells you they're down the campfire smoking. Or maybe I'd just say that I should have gotten near the campfire and said, oh, this is Jeff coming. And covered their sin, but I didn't. Instead, I blew up and I wounded several kids at that time. They all recovered, praise the Lord. But you solve nothing by blowing up. You'll remember this word when you lose your temper. Better to shut your mouth and walk away. Never lose your temper at a camper. If you see a camper doing something naughty, you got to stop them, but don't get furious. Number seven, verse reciting assistance. I'll leave this one to you to read. It talks about how to help the young people in verse recitation. But one thing I'd like to say about verse recitation, don't be tolerant and don't have favorites. Don't be an easy touch. Sometimes serving ones want to help the kids, and you have to have discernment. Some kids can look at a verse one time and rattle it off in 30 seconds. Other kids take that same verse, that takes them 10 minutes to learn the same verse. You have to have a high tolerance of weakness, but don't be an easy touch where you're the one who just signs off no matter what they say. Just read that fellowship and you'll see. Number eight, I think, is important, and I'd like to share this point with you. Personal experiences and testimonies. You may not have expected this topic. Consider your salvation experience. Rehearse it by sharing it with another serving one. What particular item in your experience or what specific truth attracted you to the Lord? Be specific and genuine. We should try to relate as many personal experiences of the Lord and the church life as we can. The young people love to hear our testimonies. Avoid any specific sharing about a sinful past. You can say, you know, I heard Paul say he went in the world for a while, even though he's raised as a Christian. That's about the extent of what you want to say. You don't want to say, I was a gangbanger and I shot 17 people and robbed 6 banks, beat up 4 kids, and I'm really sorry about that. Don't share your sinful past. You know, it makes them think that they can have a sinful past and then turn to the Lord later.
Yeah.
You know, how far can I go? And then, you know, it makes it sound like, well, gee, I'll just be in the world for a while and then I'll turn like you did. So be careful how you share your testimony. Don't share the sinful past. As a particular matter, Marty referred to this, rides up to camp are frequently frustrated with talk about computer games, horror movies, TV shows, and etc. while you are driving, listening, and feeling like a spiritual failure as a serving one. I've been there and I felt that way. Here's a great time to say, let me tell you how I got saved. Tell them the long version. In
1952.
And before that, my father was born in 1952. But you need to rehearse your testimony of how you got saved and tell them what attracted you to the Lord. And even if you were raised in the church life, you know, I see Patty here, you know, you're raised in the church life, you still have a testimony how you met the Lord.
Right.
So we need to be specific and exercise and think about this. That's why I say practice sharing your testimony with another serving one. And have them, what do you call that, critique you. What was significant about your testimony you think would be helpful? Perhaps you were born in the church family and got saved early in life. Okay, tell them how your mother or father got saved first. Explain how you were raised. Don't emphasize any rebellion, but if you had doubts, tell them and explain why you now love the Lord, His word, and the church. Pray inwardly as you speak. This kind of fellowship will release you. Chase the darkness away and bring in the light. Hallelujah. Ask them if they can relate to your testimony. Perhaps you might ask them how they got saved or how their parents got saved, which is sometimes easier for them to talk about. Be prepared to redirect their conversation when they get sidetracked, because they do real quick. Shepherd them into life-giving fellowship. My point is, you're in a van, and as I said, the kids don't start talking about last week. Weren't you impressed with what Paul Chang shared in verse 4? And I appreciate it, especially what Jason was sharing on this point, to the ground of the church. That's not the conversation in the van. The first week of summer school truth ends on a Thursday. They go home Friday and Saturday, and they probably rent a video or play a video game and go to a movie or who knows what they do. Next thing you know, they're in the van, and they're talking about their games and the movies, and did you see that TV show? And you think, good grief, here we've been praying all summer for the summer school of truth, and these kids are sharing about worldly things. And you just feel like, oh, forget it. And plug in your headphones and tune them out. Drive to camp. No. You need to consider ahead of time how to overcome a death situation. And that death situation is only going to be helped with life.
Amen.
Which brings up a point, who are the serving ones with you in the van? You can't all have Carmen. Carmen's a good companion in the van. He gets them memorizing verses. Have you brothers memorized this verse yet? He keeps them going. It gets them going. And sometimes I look in the rearview mirror and those kids are not going, amen. They're not going. They're going, are you kidding me? And Carmen says, come on, brother, just try one phrase. One phrase. He spoon feeds them a verse at a time. Value their travel time. So when they get to camp, they've got an exercise spirit. After camp, it's not a problem. They leave camp singing songs all the way to Fond du Lac. But going to camp, it's a dead time. Then they fall asleep. What were you going to say, Charlie?
Last time when we were on the way up to winter camp, John Spalding called our car and challenged us. So many minutes, how many you can memorize?
Because y'all had the memorization verse book.
Yeah, and it stopped. Oh my goodness, they were into it. Mm-hmm. A lot of verses were memorized.
Yeah. Good to show. We got to jump real quick. Number 10, Marty, I'm jumping to the last page. Marty shared this point pretty thoroughly. Always fellowship with the saints. We don't govern by committee vote, the last sentence, but we want to reign in life in the kingdom reality. Fellowship. Praise the Lord. It's okay to do things different. Just get a little fellowship. Most of the times when someone fellowships with you, unless it's something astronomically different and apart from what we want to do, just agree with it. You know, I have a tendency, my wife says, I'm always saying no. Should we invite this family over for dinner today? No. Should we go to this place? No. She says, you always say no. Some of us always say no. I'm just gloomy Gus, I guess. But try as much as someone's fellowship. Can I take some boys down to the lake and throw rocks at the fish? If you feel too, brother, amen. There's no fish down there anyway. Or can we go catch a snake? Say yes. Number 11. Let's read this one a little slow. Serving in the SSC
of truth, you will experience the Lord in many positive ways. You will also have failures and times of weakness. The above points are written to help you, not condemn you. Serve in joy and with the realization that we are one with the Lord in dispensing Him into our young people. Love one another warmly in brotherly love. Take the lead in showing honor one to another. It is a privilege to impart the divine things into young people. We should be full of love to them without preference. Often a young person will just appear to be contrary to you, a whole person or personality. We need these young people are finding themselves and the Lord at the same time. They will not be completely transformed in one summer school of truth or during their years with us. However, we are co-workers with the Lord in their development. Love covers many things. Ask the Lord to genuinely fill you with love for all of the young people.
And let's read 12 together too.
We should serve in newness of spirit. Serving in the church as a way of squeezing us into growth through labor, failures, restrictions, disappointments, and the cross. If you stay at home and read books, you will never be offended or offend others, and you will encounter less problems with the saints. However, by being involved in the service, we can potentially speed up the growth in life. Yet our service should not be in anguish or in sorrow or act as those who plow because someone has to do it. We need to be ones who are full of the enjoyment of our rich Christ. We are privileged to serve and dispense the Word of God and the life of God into younger saints. For this, we need to serve in newness of spirit, and we need to keep being renewed day by day, hour by hour, and even minute by minute. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen. You have one other sheet which we're not going to read, and it says for serving guidelines and responsibilities. It's a single sheet. It says for junior high serving ones. The brothers told me it should just say for serving with the young people. Sorry. It was a fellowship we had with junior high serving ones, and I just copied it. These are specific things about camp, and some of them have been repeated before. It's good to hear them again. You get a chance, read these over and check them out, and they'll help you in your service of the Summer School of Truth. Amen.
Hey, we want to, first off, are there any questions about any of the fellowship we've had so far today? It's really been a very encouraging turnout. See so many here. It's just a very sweet, enjoyable, precious time to see how many here are burdened for the going on of the next generation. Very, very encouraging, very, very healthy. So again, any questions or any specific points? There are the there are outlines of the actual time at the camp. Both weeks actually. Also that are in there we didn't mention. One was handed out, and one is in the book. But we want to cover in the next 20 minutes the practical matters that we feel we need to take care of before Summer School of Truth starts. Now usually probably we'll still need to do this, because we have one or two sessions where we just come together and okay, these are the things that need to be taken care of, and who's going to take care of them. I think, Charlie, you probably have a list from previous years, right?
Yes. Yeah,
they're pretty much the same thing year after year after year. One thing, verse memorization. We obviously need verse memorization. So who has some burden to pick up and select from each of the lessons? Verse memorization. Some verses.
Produce a master.
Pardon me?
And produce a master copy.
And produce a master copy. Who has some time?
Okay,
and then a couple of brothers to go over. Okay, Daniel? Okay, good. Amen. then goes out of it. For each of the verses, each of the lessons, you want to have some verses for memorization. So you can use the pattern from previous years as a guideline for that.
I have those books from previous years if you need them.
And we need also rewards for verse memorization. Another practical matter that we always... Pardon me? How many rewards do we want to have this year?
Joseph is reminding me about the Bible reading challenge and the need to perhaps recognize that.
Okay.
So maybe two or three could get together and figure out.
Yeah.
By a little scale, along with the Bible reading, the memorizing.
Nice. This is we did this for the winter camp, you know, and we got those verses from the bookstore this year. You know, some of them are magnets, and some of them hang on the wall, but they're like a piece of wood, and they've got a verse on it, and it's shellac. It was a big hit this year.
Yeah.
And that was you give that away for.
We gave it for the
Bible reading challenge.
And for the verse memorization, we got different sizes, and I think some of them were like $5, some were $7.50, and I think the three big ones are $9.50 or something like that. I don't know what they all came to, and then we gave bookmarks and stuff, which weren't as big of a hit to everybody. But those little plaques, I had a lot of kids tell me this is really a lot better than a flashlight and a, you know.
Okay. So I think someone just suggested a few saints get together and decide that. So who wants to pick up the burden for fellowshipping about number of rewards?
Might be good if we have two or three for the high school, two or three for the junior.
Yeah. Okay, good. Who for the high school? Yourself?
Barb has row. We thought you meant yourself.
Oh, Barb.
Okay, Barb has row, and I will do baseball.
Okay. Mary and Barb has row. Okay.
Carmen and I will do junior high.
Okay. Amen. Is somebody getting this, making these notes?
Yes.
Okay. As we were going through, I want to stress something from last year that I think. A couple of sisters may want to reinforce this. I see the one sister's not here, but concerning cell phones at the camp. One, the rule is they don't bring them, but they had them. And there was through a very specific reason, they eventually had to go around and ask each person, do you have a cell phone? I need to have it. So the reason for this is otherwise they get calls. They get strange calls. They get things that upset them and bother them. And they get one of the things that was really an advantage this last year was at the camp was that we're isolated from the world. And when they're away from their friends and don't get in touch with their friends, you know, it just I think Jason, you said it was almost like a training atmosphere. Okay? They did not have their cell phone. So we want to stress that point. Reinforce it as they're getting ready to go. No cell phones. And then when they get there the first night, okay, does anybody have a cell phone? We need to have it now. And if you need to call your father or mother, come to me and we will help you. But for the most part, you know, when that was enforced last year, it just had a very positive impact. So we need to pray about how to do this. We need to let them know very clearly ahead of time. This is one of the rules that will be enforced.
Amen.
We will enforce. We will not. You know, you will not have freedom to use your cell phone. One person got a call, and of course, a very strange reaction. and it caused a lot of problems. And because of that, we went around and got the cell phones. So. It's on the rules. It's in the packet.
It's in the package of registration.
Okay. We can make a special announcement. Put that in the letter to the parents, Jeff, or how do we do
that? It's in that registration form. Letter, we put it in.
But I think.
Do not bring, what not to bring back.
But I think the concern is that the parents may not read that. So can we just.
Especially if they get it year after year.
Parents are supposed to read it and sign it. Then the one big thing is my phone is my Bible and my phone is my camera.
No. Sorry. That's the problem. Their phone is their Bible, their camera, their connection to the internet. It's everything. Sorry. You had to get another camera this time.
Yeah, good point. Let them know ahead of time. You're not going to use, in the Summer School of Truth, you're not going to use your phone for your Bible. Bring your Bible.
Amen.
What if we each, like there's so many serving ones, divvied up so many of the kids, so many, like I'd get four sisters, and maybe the parents, or I'd call ahead of time, a few days ahead, oh yeah, glad to have you, blah, 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 or maybe it's by carload, and then go over a couple.
By carload.
Yeah, by carload. Yeah.
Personal and sweet. And they're accountable to me because I told them.
We did that last year. We had a list when we were given our list of cards. Please call everybody in your car and remind them that blah, blah, blah. And
that's good.
But and then specifically, too, we could say, you won't have your cell phone, so make sure you bring a hymnal, Bible, blah, blah, whatever.
They don't need a hymnal, but they need a Bible.
They need a Bible. Yeah, they need to bring a Bible. So they need to bring their Bible. Okay, what other? And I think.
Well, we registration on the table outside there. It's the same registration form we've been using for years. When you pick them up, if you saw them on the table, at the end, if you need more from your locality, we will email these pages. The registration and the health history form and the two pages of information, we'll email them out. You can mass produce them in whatever quantities you want or if you want to pick them up out here. But we're asking that they be given back by, I think it's, what did I ask for? July 8th. And last year we had the high school send them to Barb and the junior high to me. We're just using my address. I'm not going to handle the registrations, but we need a central place to mail. Rather than, and the saints over the years are used to mailing them to me anyway. So it's my address that's been listed here to mail. And then we're going to delegate maybe some of our interns, hallelujah, who go, amen, to help us with registration. It's just a matter of putting them into an Excel spreadsheet and keeping track of it. And then we'll try to communicate. A lot of times, it's serving ones in a locality don't know who's registered or who's not registered from their locality. And the last minute, we're scrambling in the last week to try to find people. So we need to. It's the responsibility of the serving ones in your locality to find out who's available to come to the Summer School of Truth. And when it comes to this matter of money, you can read in the registration, that's handled in each locality. Some kids just don't have the wherewithal. Some families, if you feel in a locality to help out a family, you need to help them yourself. In other words, Chicago doesn't pick up the burden for all the kids who can't afford to go across the Midwest. Okay? Actually, kudos to Robert. Oak Lawn does a very good job in this area. They just send us one check and covers the church. How they handle that, I don't know. But the registration is always done on time and helpful. So be sure to pick up these registrations on the table outside.
And one thing I could ask your question, Brother Serving
Ones. No, but the only way we know if Serving Ones are coming or not is if sometimes we've been surprised by serving ones showing up at camp. We just don't know that they're coming. So if we don't require them to fill out a registration form, so I guess the answer this year, I've been saying no for many years, but it's caused a lot of problems. Carmen gives me his every year. I know his height and weight and birthday for 10 years. But serving ones, send in a registration. You don't need the health history form, just a registration.
Okay. All right. Good fellowship.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Everybody sends a registration form.
Amen. Amen.
And a health history form.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
The charge for serving ones is $180. If you go to camp, the first week, serving ones don't pay anything. Camp is $180 this year for serving ones. It's $320 for a kid for 2 weeks.
Good. Mark?
Oh, well, I just wanted to mention, kids, this is a real suffering. I mean, we may or may not understand how a suffering it is to turn in their phones. But I noticed one thing last year. It was a serving one that was checking Facebook in front of the kids, you know, at camp. And I just said, listen, you don't understand. It's just a...
Yeah.
Our phones should also just be for emergencies.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the most necessary communication.
Yeah.
Because it just in sympathy with them or empathy with them.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We shouldn't be, you know, checking the latest basketball scores or what I do.
Right.
I don't know how to have all that stuff. But I'm saying, just
very good.
To understand what they're going through.
Yeah, yeah.
We
yeah.
To understand
the Bible. Right? Yeah. We have to bring our own Bible.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Amen. Good.
Bring our Bible.
Yeah.
Amen. We'll have to spread that word to newer people who come to serve.
Yeah, in other words, the serving ones should come prepared to use their Bible, not be using their phone. If we're asking the young people to not use their phone, we don't want to be using our phones in front of everybody. So have your Bible. Again, as Jeff had mentioned, we'll have the song books.
We'll have the song books. We'll have a verse book. We have, you just need a New Testament usually, and sometimes the Old Testament, but definitely the New Testament. Bring one of those recovery versions you got on the shelf in your closet you haven't been using for years.
Yeah.
You know, we all have old recovery versions when we bought the new one. Because it gets pretty beat up sometimes at camp. If a brother had a Kindle or something or whatever you call those things with all the Bible on it in his suitcase in his cabin to check verses, I guess that's okay. But I empathize with Penny not to use it in front of the kids.
Yeah.
Pardon
me?
Especially not for anything.
Staying from Facebook.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, what do we do about this desire that the kids don't have cameras these days? They all have their phones. We'll ask the camp to stock up some disposable $5 cameras.
Digital cameras.
They don't want those.
Mary?
Last year in my cabin, I had three girls who, all three of them had a very difficult time with the phone. You know, and we didn't get them until the third day of camp. We knew they had them because we saw them with the blankets and stuff. And there were three of them. And finally, they gave up their phones, and then they got together and they wrote a song. It was kind of nice, a nice song. But I just put phones in my trunk. And so if they wanted to use, because I had phones in my trunk, they wanted to use it for a picture, maybe they could have, yes, me, I want to take a picture or something, and I could unlock my trunk for a minute or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess they can't.
Okay, I'll just say be careful of trunks in the heat.
Yeah.
You don't want to...
I mean,
seriously. You know, if it gets to 120 degrees inside the trunk, you may have just fried a phone.
What's that?
Is Patty Bell going to be in camp? Patty Bell is in.
She's in camp. That's
she takes 4,000.
Patty Bell will be there?
It takes...
And she can put them up on the internet and you can copy them once you want.
That's not necessarily the situation. Patty Bell may be there.
I wonder how many of those pictures make it into history anyway.
Yeah.
Pardon me? Yeah, good. Amen.
Yeah.
So.
That was good.
No, they get
dirty. That's actually.
You're supposed to take pictures of people. Yeah.
You never take pictures.
So again, we will reinforce the no cell phone law rule.
Amen.
And
we'll sing Mary's song. Give up your phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And we can bring a few. We can bring a couple of waterproof throwaway cameras too.
But, okay.
Okay.
Next issue.
Next
no
issue.
Phones.
No phones. Period. Hallelujah. Then okay, what other practical matters do we need fellowship about?
As far as this list here, we didn't designate whether you prefer to serve with junior high or high school. If anybody has a strong preference, maybe you could come up here at the end and jot it down. Other than that, we hope everybody will be open to go where the need is. Okay? But some of us fit better with one age better than the other. If you want to put that down, that's fine. Okay?
Amen.
But we can't have it too lopsided. If we have 100 junior high and 20 high schoolers, we can't have everybody serving with the high schoolers. We got to balance it out according to how many kids there are and all that.
Usually, lately, it's been the other way around.
It's the other way around. That's why I pretend there's everybody.
Are we going to have this junior high
Chicago and high school?
Yeah. Same arrangement. Yeah, same arrangement as last year. Yes.
Will
the
high schoolers all have a book, the church? Or are you going
to
buy one?
We want all the high schoolers to have a book, the church.
Yes. So we'll sell a year. We'll keep for that, and then we'll get some more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you supplying them to them or charging them?
Last year, we supplied them.
We supplied them.
Okay.
Very good. Yeah. And a point, though. We do ask the high schoolers because of a couple of different things we do. When the high schoolers, it was an extra 25, it's on the registration form, right?
Is it in here?
If it isn't, it should be.
Number six on the Summer School of Truth information sheet. High schoolers need to bring activity money. Because the high schoolers have activities that cost extra money, they need to bring $15 to each week of camp. So bring $15 in cash the first week and bring $15 for Camp Grove. $30.
$30, yep.
$15 each week. And it's a deal.
It is a deal.
We've tried to do. I got two questions at once. What was your question?
Is 15 still logical or should it be 20 or 25?
I think it's enough.
It's enough.
We end up doing it.
We make out. We're close.
We're close. And then her question was what?
Gas
money. We've tried this gas money thing so many times, and so many kids lie and keep the money their parents gave them. It's unbelievable. It's very difficult to collect gas money. We leave it up to the drivers. In the recent months, I've tried to just divvy up money to the saints. It's an evaluation of an accountant's mentality of the saints. If John Spalding drives a van to camp, I figure out he's doing okay. He doesn't need money. But if a college student drives to camp and is destitute and has been an intern all summer not making any money, I might give him $50 for gas. Sorry to be so candid. That's how we handle it. In some cars, you might get good kids that give a lot of money and they help out and others don't. We ask them to bring money for gas, but unless the driver collects it, and most drivers feel funny asking the kids for the money like they're asking them to do something wrong or something. So I just, it's one of those issues that I just drop.
Why can they make it part of the registration fee?
It's true.
Yeah.
Just add another $5 to the registration?
Yeah. That's taken care of. There's no awkwardness. Everybody should be paying that. They're going. Someone else is giving them a ride.
And we need to all destroy these registration forms today. Because if any of them sneak out, they'll already be out there. And then someone will duplicate the one that says, don't bring them. Good idea for next year. Let's leave it alone this year.
Yeah.
We have some extra money. You should know the church here subsidizes the Summer School Truth by about $2,000 to $4,000 a year anyway. And the brothers are very gracious in that matter. They feel it's well worth the investment. So we'll try to remind me of camp who needs gas money. Praise the Lord. Sorry to truncate that one.
Amen. So, Harlow, we probably need to have at least one or maybe two practical sessions. So have you thoughts of a date when to have the practical?
Yeah, probably a week before the college training. When is the
See?
So the. Is there any time between the summer training and?
Yeah,
1 week. 1 week.
Yeah, I think.
We're right now. We're at the. The 16th.
Next Thursday.
This is the 16th.
So that would be two. I think you're right. That's a week. Actually, minimum has been two. Really.
Yeah.
So it should be the June 24th.
Right, June 24th would be good. Yeah, that would be good.
Good.
June 24th, July 15th. That'd be good.
Okay.
So those two, that'd be Lord's Day evening or afternoon.
Those are both Lord's days.
Yeah.
Yes. So. June 24th and July 15th. How about we say 5 o'clock?
That's good.
Getting us to finish by 6:30. Is that right?
At 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Those 2 days. Okay. And you'll have maybe reproduced the list from previous years
to
as a starting point
with
some of the fellowship reading.
One thing in the smaller localities that are represented here, we need to know who the fifth graders are that are going to be sixth graders. And you need to, when we just had a special day in Palatine, there were a couple of fifth grade girls who are going to be sixth grade, but I don't have any information on how to mail them or send them anything. So a lot of kids, a lot of Chicago kids, I still mail in paper registration forms. And we hang them on the board here in the meeting hall. So that's what I'm telling you with these. You can duplicate these as much as you want and pin them in the bulletin board of your meeting hall or email them, whatever you want. But we need to find those fifth graders. And if you know any other children in outlying localities, I'm not talking about Streamwood, I'm talking about Ames, Iowa, places like that. And Ian from Brooklyn Park, I don't know any of the kids in that area these days. So we find ourselves, registration goes like this. It goes slow, slow, slow. Then 2 weeks before camp, it picks up. Then 6 days before camp, we get 30 more. Every year just before camp, I wonder if I'm going to have the minimum to meet the camp requirement. And then at the last minute, we're looking for room because we're out of room at the last minute. People wait until the last minute. That's why the training decided to charge $25 for late registration. But we don't do that, praise the Lord. So as much as you can encourage kids to register in advance, please do. And it's always this matter of payment, and we make it clear we don't cash the check until after camp. And sometimes a kid will cancel camp and we just mail back the check. So tell parents and families we don't deposit the money until after camp, so they don't need to worry about their check bouncing until then.
Just remember that you're giving it away. Okay, one last thing here. There, in your packet, there's a page called Summer 2012 Summer School Personal Preparation for the Time. It has some websites. One, we've been recording these messages, so they'll be on the churchofchicago.org probably within a few days.
Do we know how to get that out there?
We'll figure it out. Then there's one for the sharing from Itero, Tom Getz and Ricky Acosta. And then there's another one for the sharing. Sorry. The number two is the Northwest Northeast Summer School of Truth. That's when Ricky and Dennis and Benjamin Chen are all sharing. Then number three is the sharing of Tom Getz and Ricky Acosta at Itero. These are all very good and very helpful. So,
I wonder if anybody had better experience than Alan and I. That website didn't really work very well.
Which one?
You required to pay $1 to the Southern California Young People's website. We'll put it on the board. If you paid $1 and you don't get a link, just email me, and then I'll send you the link. Because you should probably pay them.
I had the same problem when I sent them an email. Hey, there's a problem here. What's going on?
Did they respond?
No, not yet. I was a little bit more gentle. I was a little bit more gentle in my way I said it. I just say there's a problem here. I didn't say it that way. I was a little more gentle in the way I said it. I said, did I do something wrong? Or any? Pardon me?
Yeah, I
got it. Yeah, so he got it. So you got it. So
I had a complaint.
I don't know what the difference is. But anyways, okay, let's have a couple prayers, and all the rest of practical matters we'll cover on those two dates we talked about.